Blog Talk Radio.
Have you done your yoga today?
DDP yoga. It ain't your mama's yoga.
Savage, you wanna come into my real world? I'm gonna snap into yours.
Brother, 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 brother. My question to you is, what are you? Some kind of a gemologist or something? That spring stampede we're all gonna see if DDP has got any family jewels at all.
Pretty heavy.
Shame
on you
that you got none.
I'm a doubt.
Well, macho man. I guess we're gonna find out at Spring Stampede.
Wait a minute.
And don't forget to bring your little bimbo Lynn. Because since I'm bringing the lady, you might as well bring the tramp.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho. Honestly, DDP Yoga has changed my life, and it probably saved my career, both in wrestling and in music.
It's the best thing I've ever done for my health, mentally. I feel so much stronger, I feel so much better, I feel younger. And the best thing about it is I can do it whenever I want.
An internet weight loss sensation. Nearly 3 million clicks to see Arthur Borman's transformation from this to this. 100 pounds gone with yoga?
Arthur, when you started YRG, how much did you weigh?
297.
297. What do you weigh now?
156.
How long were you walking on those canes, bro? 15 years. This man right here shows that anything is possible, but it starts right here.
If anyone has any question of whether or not it works, just look at my stuff, because the proof is absolutely in the gluten-free, dairy-free pudding, because all I'm doing is DDP yoga.
It's DDP Radio. God. And welcome to another hour, or whatever it goes to, of DDP Radio. I'm Diamond Dallas Page, and we have got a hell of a show for you. Oh, man. This is going to be an awesome show. I know this is off our normal day. Anyone who's listening right now, go to Twitter and let people know, Robert, if you want to hit that, go to Twitter and let people know that DDP Radio is live right now. Normally, it's on Wednesday night, every Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, and we will replay this tomorrow at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, because that's when we normally run the show. But I changed it up this week because I got a special guest, and on Wednesday nights from 9 to 11, he's at acting class. So I don't want to take away from that. And I'm glad that we got him to get on here. And we're going to bring him on in just a little bit. But what I'd like to do before I do is I want to, first of all, say Sparky cannot be here tonight because he's at a hockey game. And he has to be there for that. But he will be returning not tomorrow, but the following Wednesday back to our side. But we do have the lovely Stacey Morris. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, DDP. How about you?
I'm awesome. Really, I feel great. Hey, you know, one of the things I wanted to smarten people up about, you've got an awesome online site, StaceyMorris.com. Tell everybody, you know, if they go by there and they follow you, what actually they can get on that.
Well, they can get, first of all, a lot of recipes, and actually I just made the best banana cake ever of my life, and it's gluten-free. I'm going to post the recipe this week. But I also talk about, because I'm a recovering emotional eater, I talk about the whole picture, about how to not eat when you're frustrated and unhappy, and all the insights I've gotten from my dieting career. It's all there.
And any of you who don't know who Stacey Morris is, and you've had challenges with weight loss or whatever, you know, getting the energy to get, you know, and do some sort of program to get yourself some sort of cardiovascular activity or some sort of exercise in the gym, I definitely recommend that you go and see Stacey's site. And if you want to catch her video, you can always go to ddpyoga.com, and right under the initial video that has the Arthur's transformation, now we're almost at 7.5 million views with that. Right under that, in a succession of videos, you can find Stacey's her video that takes it. It's another amazingly inspirational video. She lost 185 pounds in 18 months, and she is absolutely, you know, someone you want to look to when it comes to inspiring and believing that anything's possible. And I totally recommend anything that she says as far as what to eat, because she has mastered it. And Stacey, as you went through what the eating plan is, which is really a combination of 3 and 4, did you ever feel like you were on a diet?
No, I didn't. And I deliberately did everything I could to not make it a diet, because I wanted something I could live with and really enjoy. So it's definitely no diet, prison kind of a vibe at all.
Prison kind of vibe. I like that. Yeah. I want to make a few announcements before we bring on our guest. And they are, for starters, I want to say who's going to be here next week. And if you're a tag team fan, one of my buddies who was in the WWE for a couple of years, his name is Shad Gaspar, and he was one of the crime time players, and he will be on next Wednesday, and he is a really inspirational cat, big time. And he's been out in Hollywood, he's been writing his own stuff, he's been in quite a few movies right now, and still getting out there and getting his wrestling on as well. And he will be our guest next week. Want to let everybody know about that. And want to really thank everyone who even shared the video. If you didn't have any money to put in and help Jake out, that don't matter. You know, if you just shared the video and let people know, you know, what it was all about with Jake Roberts, he had no insurance. Everybody knows Jake's story, but we really have just given little video clips here and there of what we're doing. But no one's really seen, like, the before and after. And it isn't an after yet. It's actually a during. And we needed $9,200. It was around that figure for Jake's surgery on his shoulder. And when the first night we put it up at 11:30, we actually have video footage of that as well. We filmed him and I and his daughter, who Brandy, who was staying with us for the week, and we filmed it. And Jake had no idea. I knew we had, you know, about $1,000 in there, and that was, I felt good about that. I felt good about showing him that. Like, in the first 12 hours, we'd already had like $1,200 in there. But when it came up, when the money number came up, it was $7,000. And, I mean, Jake didn't even know how to take it at first. I mean, I don't think he thought that was the number until we put it and I pointed it out. And you could see in his eyes, Jake Roberts gives you who he is. It's why he was so over and why fans care about him still today. The emotion that ran through his body when he realized that. And then while we sat there and talked about it, we just happened to refresh again so we could film it for, you know, you could see it pop up. and it was $9,500. And now, I mean, they cracked. I mean, I was so happy. I went to, you know, slap him on the shoulder, and I didn't realize that that's a bad shoulder. And I say, if you haven't seen that video, you want to see it. That was the thank you that he gave back. And just to let people know, it's over. It's almost $20,000. It's $19,000. Yeah. I'm looking at it right now. $963. And everybody knows the goal was $9,200. So that means that people wanted to be a part of this, this resurrection of Jake the Snake. We have changed the title of the movie to It's Never Too Late, the resurrection of Jake the Snake. And we're really sort of hoping at some point we can put Ann Scott Hall. That's something that we're trying to work on. And, you know, we've hit a monster adversity because Scott stepped out again. But he was right there for a while. That's why I didn't want to tell anybody, because he wasn't in here till he was in. And, you know, we've been talking with the WWE, and you guys have no idea how much the WWE really tries to help anybody has any kind of addiction problems, has any kind of problem with pills or alcohol or drugs. They really go out of their way. I'm not sucking up to them. It's just a fact, because I'm really like in the middle of a lot of it right now. And I'm just letting you know that. And, you know, you wrestling fans out there who are listening, you can be pretty proud of that on that end of it. And, just want to really thank everybody for doing that. And just to let you know where that other part of that money is going to go, like teeth, Jake needs teeth. And because, you know, when you're an addict, everything, that's why I always tell kids, you know, why they shouldn't do drugs, because it rots your body from the inside out. And that goes from prescription drugs to illegal drugs, you know, we're going to get his teeth fixed. And then he's going to start, you know, paying for insurance. And things have really turned around. Jake's done a couple of appearances. He's done one appearance since then. And the warmness that has come up to him. We're actually going to be, if you're anywhere near Atlanta and you're a horror fan, Jake and I will be at Days of the Dead, the big horror festival. And me and Jake will be together. And I'll be right next to all the guys from the Devil's Rejects, because Danny Trejo's going to be there. Spalding is going to be there.
Oh,
Otis,
wow,
is going to be there. I mean, all the crew from, I know those guys are such great guys. The guys who I worked with, the Devil's Rejects, that was a really amazing project to be with and doing something for Rob Zombie. And I can't wait to bring a guest on. I just want to get a couple more of these on here, because he had an affiliation with Rob Zombie too. I want to let everybody know that the Ultimate Workshop, I did at my house this weekend. It was amazing. Ask anybody who was there. They got so much more than they bargained for. It was incredible. Arthur came down. He spent the day with us. It was a great time. The next one is March 2nd in Smyrna, Georgia. There'll be three different plants. The one will be just the workout, which the whole thing, everything encompasses me about 2.5 to 3 hours. That will be the first part. And then the second part, which is the next deal, and there's only going to be 20 of these that you can do. For the workout, we can take it up to 60 or more. But for the thing at the house, there's only going to be 20 people, because I can't fit that many more people in my house comfortably with everybody getting what they came for. And then there's one other deal where there's two rooms. And these are like the sweetest bed and breakfast rooms on the planet. I know one's already gone, and I'm not sure about the other one yet, but it won't last long. So there's three different deals on the DDP Ultimate Workshop, DDP Yoga Ultimate Workshop. That is March 2nd. You might want to check that out. Who else will be here on March 2nd for the Ultimate Workshop? Will be the Warrior, and I got to call him the Warrior of 2012, and that's Slim Gilliam. He's going to be here. He's got one of the other rooms. And from what I understand, we might get a special appearance to join the workout and the day for Mark Merrow. He's going to be in town, so I'm looking forward. I hope he can get over right now. He's about 90% going to be there. I want to remind everybody that the retreat, the DDP Yoga retreat in July from the 10th to the 15th, it's going to be a blast. We've got so many amazing people. There's a couple extra spots left. I have to add a couple more, because we've got so many amazing people coming. And I know Arthur's going to be there. Stacy's going to be there. Stacy, you're bringing Bill, right?
Yeah, I'm bringing Chef Bill, and he's going to be cooking some amazing stuff this year.
Because that's one of the things. We don't just work out. You know, we work out. You can work out once a day or twice a day. It's your call. You know, we eat amazing food. We have cooking and baking classes. And Chef Stacy's man, Chef Bill, he's awesome. He made a couple amazing dishes right there. It took like 35, 40 minutes, and they were off the charts. We're going to have baking classes and all of that. And we just don't, you know, eat good and work out hard. But we also party, and that's part of going to Mexico. And we just might have a special guest of the Snake Man himself. You know, we'll see how everything plays out, but maybe Mr. Roberts might be there as well. I want to thank all the people on Twitter. DDP Yoga Twitter is over 35,000 right now and going strong. Facebook is over 15,000. And Team DDP Yoga, we're right at the cusp of 15,000 members, which is so awesome. And all of you guys who are listening tonight, if you do any kind of voting thing, I'm going to ask you. I don't ask many people to vote for me on stuff because I don't normally do these contests. But this is for DDP Yoga. This is the Shorty Awards. And Stacy will be throwing up little blogs up there during the time someone wants to hit that button and pop out and throw a vote up there. You got to put a little something. You have to say something so they know it's not just a vote that's thrown up there. But if you guys would go and vote on the Shorty Awards, it's shortyawards.com. That's S-H-O-R-T-Y awards, awards.com/DDP Yoga. We're in first place right now. But, you know, I want to get people, you know. But we got till February, I think. This is a big award. This is all about the social media. Who has the most vocal social media network going? And we have between DDP Yoga, at DDP Yoga, and at Real DDP, and the Facebook DDP Yoga, we got a pretty strong social networking system going here, and I would love you guys to reach out and vote. The next thing I just want to say before we roll in, I got to tell you, I don't know if you saw the Royal Rumble this year, but Louis wanted to get it, and I was like, yes, I want to see who's going to actually be there, because yeah, I didn't want to say because I didn't know if I was going or not, but I was almost there, and if I didn't have the Ultimate Workshop, you know, then I absolutely would have been there, and everything happens for a reason. But I got to watch one of the best Rumbles I've seen in a while, and I was blown away when I really started to really, like, take in all the WWE superstars that are actually, you know, vocal about doing DDP Yoga. It was like blowing my mind. You had Goldust out there, Titus, Zack Ryder, Kane, Santino, Sheamus, you got Brodus, Damien, Miz, Ryback. A lot of people don't know, but Ryback, when he came back from his surgery, Ryback, his besides his weights, because he, you know, obviously lift weights, but the art of his strengthening his leg and his core was DDP Yoga. If you don't believe me, he can't really say it because it's Feed Me More character. It doesn't really fit. Feed Me More. But he is a really big, big, big supporter and believer. But the guy I'm the most proud of is the cat who came back, you know, after being out a year last year, and, you know, Chris Jericho, he came back last year, had an amazing 6 months in the ring. He looked amazing. His work in the ring is as good as it's ever been, if not better, and then takes off 6 months, hits the road with Fozzy, tears it down all across the country. I got to see him when he was out here in Atlanta, and shows up at the number two spot and goes 47 minutes and 53 seconds. He hasn't wrestled in 6 months. Man, looked amazing. And this DDP Yoga is the only workout Chris Jericho does. I'm so proud to say that. He has been an amazing supporter throughout this whole thing. And I texted him after the match. I thought he did. And how, I don't know if any of those guys, the boys in the ring, all 10 I named right there, I don't know if any of them would have been doing it if it wasn't for Chris Jericho saying, you need to do this. You know, and that's who Chris Jericho is. If he believes in something, he talks about it. And, you know, he's just, it's an honor to have him say the things that he says. And that brings me to my next guy. And the guy I'm talking about is our guest tonight. I know a lot of you people tuned in here on Tuesday night regularly. DDP Radio is on Wednesday nights at 9 o'clock. We will replay this tomorrow at 9 o'clock. This guy. This guy, what I love the most, and I want to talk about it to him because I've never really talked to him about it, was captured, I believe, is at WrestleMania 6 with a Hulk Hogan bandana or shirt or something going, and they caught him live on the WrestleMania. And then he goes on to become a four-time WWE champion, a seven-time world heavyweight champion, a two-time WWE tag team champion, a 12-time world champion, I mean, five-time Intercontinental champion. What hasn't he done? The master of the ladder match and the spear. Please welcome, and wait a minute, and now TV star of Haven on Sci-Fi, please welcome the one and only Edge. Welcome to the show, bro.
You think you know me?
How are you, Edge?
Very good. Can you hear me?
I hear you perfect, buddy.
Oh, good. Good deal. After that introduction, I got some stuff to live up to now.
I think you're doing pretty good, brother. I want to let everybody know, if you've got questions for Edge, all you got to do is hit Stacy in the chat room, and she will send them over. If you want to talk, now it's going to be a little while because we're going to talk for a while, and but we will get to you if you do get on the line. And you can call in at 347-994-1216. So that's logged in there. Stacy, hit that on the chat room. And, dude, you know, I had the honor of being, I believe, the first top main event guy coming into WWE to have that match with you and put you over in the middle, dude. I tell you, man, to be the guy who, you know, you'd already started. You were on that rocket at that time. They were hitting. They knew you were going to be the guy. And to be the guy that was passing that torch over to you on that match we had that time, dude. I never really told you that. It was a real honor for me.
Well, and for me as that young guy, where you think you're okay, I think I'm on to something here, and I think they know I'm on to something here. But if you don't get accepted by the guys who are at the top, and they aren't willing to, you know, to help get you to break that glass ceiling, then it's not going to happen, you know, and. Because of guys like you, I tried to take that over when I ended up getting the top. It's like, okay, who can we help? Who can we help break through? Cool. Does that guy deserve it? Well, we'll see. You know, if he doesn't, then he's going to fall flat in his face. If he does, awesome. And you know, I think, you know, you see guys like Chris Jericho and Christian and Orton and guys like that, and they really, really do that. And it's a necessary ingredient to get into the top.
Absolutely, man. And I mentioned it right in the beginning as I started the, you know, as I started the build up of you. It was WrestleMania 6, was it?
Yeah, WrestleMania 6, Sky Dome, Warrior and Hogan.
And I believe you were a Hogan fan, am I correct?
Yes, yeah, I was a diehard, dyed-in-the-wool, you know, Hulkamaniac. I was wearing my Hulk Rules tank top. I had a horrible mullet. I mean, just feathered, just so feathered. And it was like it was a bad, like, helmet. And I was engrossed. I mean, I already knew that I wanted to be a wrestler. That was already decided. But to feel the energy in that audience that day, I'd never felt anything like that. And I'd been to some shows. I'd been to Maple Leaf Gardens a lot. But that day I was like, I have to be on this show. I have to, you know. And then fast forward to WrestleMania 18, and, you know, you got to wrestle Christian. So Christian got to wrestle in Toronto, Sky Dome, WrestleMania, you know, kick off the show, too, and kick ass with it. And then, you know, to just that many years later to be, you know, sitting in the ring and looking out at where my seat was 12 years earlier. And it was so surreal.
You know, and you've heard it a million times. Guys have come up to you, and women have come up to you and said, it's been my dream. I just want it so bad. I want to be a wrestler so bad. Since I was a little kid, and I'm sure they said, I was you. I was that kid. I want this. But I don't really think they know or really have any idea the work and the dedication and the drive and the persistence. And I mean, there's so many words, tenacity, that it takes to go, especially, I mean, I would love to listen. We had a couple of good lunches or dinners, wherever we were at, when you and, you know, Jay, Christian, would talk about those early days. Share some. I remember the ice rink stories, you know, not having, tell the people some of those stories.
Well, you know, it is interesting because, you know, you do hear that a lot. You do hear, I want to do it, I can do it, I can do it. And hey, more power to you. You know, that's awesome. If you're going to do it. That really is the key to me. And then once you start doing it, you know, you said all, you know, a lot of those words. One of them is perseverance, too, because there's going to be times where you just, you see yourself and go, what are we doing? Like, we drove across this one lake.
I love this story.
We're going to this place called God's Lake Narrow, and you got to cross a lake that takes an hour to drive across, so you can't see land when you're on this thing.
Wow.
And for an hour, you're there with a van full of wrestlers. One of them's Rhino, who at that point is 325 at like 6 feet tall. You know, so there's enough weight as it is, and then you throw in like there's 12 of us. You know, and then you got Tony Condello, our little promoter, he like Papa Geppetto, driving this thing, and you're going, this is eerie. Like, there is nothing. All you see is orange pylons to tell you where the road is, because if you go off that, you're probably going to go through the ice. And then you see tractor trailers that are in the ice, and it's just, it's
wow.
You go through stuff like that. Then you get to the show, and it's minus 72 Celsius. So
what is that in hours?
That's about minus 40 Fahrenheit.
Oh!
So you get into that, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, okay, the lines freeze up, power goes up for a couple of hours, so you all huddle together in sleeping bags. You're staying in the home ec room, and you're making yourself craft dinner as your meal for the day. And then you get out and wrestle in front of, you know, 50 people and,
awesome.
You know, try stupid things like, you know, springboard moonsaults to the floor. Like, I never did that in the WWE. But I decided, you know, hey, this is what you gotta try. You got to do stuff. And, you know, all of those things, it really just strengthens your resolve if you have that mindset. And if you go after it, and that's one thing that I've learned in life, it's if you want something, you better commit to it, because it's not going to happen unless you commit.
Absolutely. And the, you know, the work ethic that comes in, like how many times did you feel like, or let's say the doubt, because someone starts, this starts, a, you know, a workout program or, you know, an eating plan, a diet per se, and they second guess themselves. How many times did you think, God, am I ever going to make this? I mean, did you always say, I'm going to make it, and that's it? There was no question.
Honestly, there was no question. And I've second guessed almost everything since. But the one thing I never second guessed was if I was going to make it. And you know, I always said I didn't feel it was a cockiness. I really just felt it was a confidence in my drive to get there. Because I seriously focused on nothing else. Like, that was it to me. And I'm thankful that what ended up being it for me was, you know, I don't know. It's just what I was supposed to do. And
there's a pretty big handful of us who make it to that spot that you feel this was my destiny. And when I started wrestling at 35 and everybody laughed their ass off, I tried it at 22. It just didn't work out at the time, you know, but coming in there and starting to do it and then get my rotator cuff torn and I'm fired. And, you know, and at that moment, you know, that's where I really, you know, like, oh God, man, what am I doing? And I just said, there is nothing that's going to stop me from getting back there. And this, it was like 9 months before I ever came back. And Kimberly was like, babe, you need to get another job because, you know, this ain't going to happen. And if she was 30, she probably wouldn't, you know, have this attitude, but she was 23. And I said to her, I said, babe, if you don't believe in what I'm going for, don't let that door hit you on the ass on the way out.
Yeah.
And that was just my, because I that's why I wanted, there's a point where you just say, there's nothing going to stop me. It's going to happen. And if you're listening out there, that's really what it takes. It takes that kind of tenacity. And so what was the shining moment that you said, like when you got there, like what was the phone call? How did it come down?
You know, it was an interesting, once again, I was on an Indian reservation in Northern Canada. this was in Ontario and we were in Cat Lake. And it was on a summer tour. So we would take these four-seater pontoon planes and land on the lakes. And they used to have to wait out the planes. So they would put this guy, Joe Legend, who wrestled in WWE quickly as Just Joe, and they would put me, and then they would put the pilot, and they would put a midget in with us.
Of course. Of course they would.
So you would have the four of us, and I mean, if you dropped 20 feet, I mean, it felt like 2,000. It was just, you felt every little thing. So we fly into this town, and we went fishing that day, and it's just like, it's untapped. Like, you drop the line in without a fishing rod, and you caught a fish kind of thing. We come
Love
back
that.
With 36 fish. I remember every detail of this day. So finally, I'd been in contact with WWE, with Bret Hart, with Carl DeMarco, who was the Canadian president at the time. And they kind of got word that this kid from Toronto was starting to make some waves and stuff. And there was a message at the sheriff's office, and it was the only phone in the reservation. And they got it to me that, you know, they had a contract waiting for me down in Stanford after the tour. And
wow.
So I'm talking to DeMarco in this little shack, you know, in the middle of nowhere, like literally the middle of nowhere. We're talking 24 hours north of a city. And, you know, finding out that my dream, or at least the beginning of it, is really going to come to fruition here.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty, never forget it, that's for sure.
So I know that you and Christian have been best friends for how long?
Oh, wow. We met in the sixth grade, so I think it's 28 years now.
That's amazing. I mean, and you guys are the same as you ever been. I've been around you at the beginning. I've been around you, you know, at the end of that run that you guys had. And, you know, one of my favorite people. And, my WrestleMania moment is with Christian. And, you know, coming into Canada, all you have to do is – encourage the people a moment, and you're going to be the baby face no matter what.
Yep.
But when you guys were heels, you were heels. You did your best. Like Christian would, I mean, they loved him, but they would boo him when we were together. And man, it made magic for me going out as I went out of the WWE to going out with him, especially WrestleMania. It was an awesome moment. It's one of my favorite matches. And, we had nothing or any hype on it, and we had the people. It was amazing. Anything when you're doing that, and your buddies, how do you guys come together? Tell everybody how that came, because they're talking to you, and then you guys come in as the vampires, which look where that's at today, you know, when vampires are everywhere. But
it was, it's one of those things. If I actually sit back and think about it, it was actually Chavo Guerrero that went, whoa, dude, I never knew the story of you guys. you realize, like, that's a movie, man. Like,
right.
two kids that meet in the sixth grade in a town of 14,000 people and connect because of wrestling. Like, we're the only two that loved it and would admit to loving it and fly the flag high, you know? And we just, that was it. I mean, pretty much inseparable from that point forward. And, you know, we'd go to wrestling shows, local shows were coming to town, we'd meet the promoters, set up chairs, you know, put up flyers, and then, you know, our big payment was, hey, we get to meet the guys after. And we'd meet, you know, guys when they were coming through. And it was such a great experience that, you know, all of those things happen. And then you get on the road together and you train together, you know, in this boxing ring that's like concrete. And, you know, and then you go on the road together and you drive across frozen lakes and you probably almost die without fully realizing it until you're, you know, an adult years later.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, I remember once we stuck in Fall Branch, Tennessee for a month and we had enough food or enough money to buy one meal per day, and it was a burger and a coffee.
And right.
Had no bookings, but we got one, and then they went, ooh, you guys got something going here. Do you want to do this show? Cool. We got enough money to be able to get, you know, the 36-hour bus ride home. But, I mean, we were just going down and winging a prayer. And you go through all that stuff together, and then, you know, you finally get to the WWE, and then WrestleMania 16, we're sitting there on this table scaffold concoction winning the tag titles, and it was, I've said it before, it was really like Dreamweaver started playing in my head. It was all fuzzy around the edges, and you go through all kinds of that stuff, and you can't help but be forged together forever.
Amazing, you guys, you know, and we're just touching. We're not even seeing the tip, anywhere near the iceberg. We're not near the tip. We're nowhere near. You could do 7 hours or 22 hours probably straight just talking about those stories. I want to bring up the one thing I left out. I left it out on purpose. Hall of Famer, bro. I mean, what did that, and so quickly coming to it, because of you had to leave in your prime. In your prime, you got to step down. What did that feel like?
Once again, I guess the things like this, I remember, you know, like a shot. Like these memories are so clear, and I guess it's because they're pretty monumental moments in my career. But I was driving home from kayaking up here in Asheville, and I was at a stoplight, covered in mud and filth and everything. And I got a call from Laurinaitis. Hey. You know, we want to put you in the Hall of Fame this year. You want to do it? I was like, what? And he said, yeah. Like, this year. I just retired last year. And they said that's what they wanted to do. And, I mean, I was like, wow. Yeah, at first I was like, there's so many guys that deserve to be in there. So fast. But you're not going to turn it down. It's like, yes.
Hell no.
It's an honor, and thank you for the compliment. So, yes, I am fully in. Where do I sign up?
I remember seeing you. I just walked out of the green room, and you go, Dallas. Give me a big old hug, man. It was great. It was great, you know, having you, being there for that. I mean, the Hall of Fame is really an amazing time. And Christian gave you the greatest, you know, greatest intro, man.
Such an asshole.
But, you know, that is the love. That is the love, brother. All right, man. We're going to bring some callers on for. I just want to hit two more things. Your acting career. Your, you made the transition right in. How did that happen with Haven? How did that come together?
Oh, man, it was a happy accident. It really was. You know, when I first found out I had to retire, you know, I went into off-the-grid mode. I was going to grow a huge beard, just sit up here in the mountains and do nothing. I got a call from I was like, man, I just need a break. 20 years on the road. I need to decompress. Then I got a call from Austin, and he was like, okay, I'm going to tell you what I did when I found out I had to retire. And, you know, he said, I went off the grid 3 years. Just sat down on a ranch in San Antonio, didn't really see anybody, and it was the worst thing I could have done. And it really resonated with me. I was like, ooh, wow, we're in the same boat here, so I'm going to listen. And if Stone Cold Steve Austin's telling you something, you want to listen.
Absolutely. Damn right.
He's going out of his way, too. You know, he calls me up, kid, what's going on? It's like, you know, so we had a good talk, and it really kind of kicked my butt into, thankfully, being open to doing Haven. And I got a call, it was like 2 days after I retired, once again, John Laurinaitis, hey, do you want to do a part on Haven? I'm like, yeah, actually I do. Yeah, let's do it. I'll go and live in Halifax. Yeah, that sounds like fun. You know, flew up there, and they had originally just written the character to be two scenes, thinking that, you know, maybe I'll crap the bed, not knowing what they were getting kind of thing. And
right.
Halfway through the first scene, they wrote two more scenes for me, so I ended up in four in that first episode. By the end of that episode, they said, can you come back for three more episodes? I went, yeah, I'm in. And then that turned into seven episodes this last season, and into this recurring character, and it just kind of happened. It wasn't planned. I don't have an agent. I never, you know, set out to be an actor or anything. And then I just started having so much fun and realizing that I needed that creative outlet still. You know, whether it be writing, whether it be painting, whatever it is, I still need to get those creative juices out. And I can't do it wrestling anymore. They won't let me. So, all right, what do I do? And this literally plopped down in my lap, and it was like, well, let's give this a shot and see. And it's been so much fun.
Dude, it's that I'm so glad that Steve, you know, Steve and I have been best friends for 20 years. And, you know, I could just see him, kid.
Yep.
What do you got playing?
I could hear him. Because he
obviously more than genuinely liked you. You know, he cared about you enough to make that call, and that's awesome. And, you know, now the reason why we didn't do the show live tomorrow, because normally DDP Radio is on Wednesday nights, but we're going to replay this tomorrow. So anybody's listening and want to tell some of your friends about it, you can check it out, and you can catch us tomorrow. We're going to replay this. But you got your acting class on Wednesday.
I do.
What's it once a week? Is it a couple times a week? What are you doing with that?
A couple times a week, and it, you know, it's I'm you know a few weeks into it now, and it's been you know definitely opened my eyes and my mind to a lot of different ideas. You know, going into anything I've done, whether it was that WWE movie where I had no idea what I was doing, and I still don't have an idea what I'm doing. Don't get me wrong. But at least I've started to gain some experience. And any time I've been on a set, I was like, okay, help me, please. Ears, eyes wide open. What do you need me to do? Direct me. Like, I have no problem with this. Just tell me what it is I need to do. So going into the third season of Haven, I still hadn't, you know, taken any classes, anything like that. This year I thought, okay, I got this second neck surgery. I got some downtime. I want to try and improve my craft in this. And actually, you know, hopefully go on to set this year, and then they'll, you know, be go, wow, okay, there's a difference. You've actually been applying yourself to this. Because like anything, like I said, you got to commit to it if you want to do it right. And I've never had a problem with committing to something once I decide, okay, that's it. Once I kind of put it in the target, lock it in, get it in the crosshairs, and I'm good to go. And, you know, I just never really, I guess, felt, you know, like, I'm not an actor, and I still don't consider myself an actor, because I think that's a disservice to actors, but I'd like to try and get
true,
somewhere.
Brother.
I'd like to try and get
you made people believe for many years before you ever stepped onto a TV screen on a sound stage. You made people believe a long time before that, bro.
Well, you know, it's a different context. You know, I felt confident in promo abilities and all of that stuff when it came to the world of wrestling. But you get into this, and all of a sudden, you know how it is. That camera picks up every little tick and nuance, and every little like eyebrow raise and your nose hairs. I mean, it's showing up there. You know? So you got to pull back all of those huge over the top movements that you had to try and translate it to the Sky Dome.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm going to turn you on to two books. One is Challenge for the Actor, and it's Uta Hagen. It's Uta Hagen, H-A-G-E-N. That's
okay.
An awesome book. And Howard Fine's book, Howard Fine is the acting coach. I spent 4 years with him when I went out to L.A. That's who Rock uses whenever he needs any kind of personal coaching on anything. Steve Austin uses them. Out of the boys, there's been plenty of the guys who've gone through there. But, I mean, he works some of the biggest names in the world, and he's the greatest, and he loves our stuff. He loves wrestling. Because he gets it, you know, and
yeah.
So that's a little thing I want to throw you there. Now, awesome. Now we got to get to, you know, how many years I tried to get you to do DDP yoga.
Uh-huh.
And then I hear Edge is going to do it. I go, no, he's not. I go, he has some 3 years to do it. What made you finally make that move, bro?
Well, here's the deal. I remember, like, years ago, you tell me, bro, you got to do this. It's going to help you. And I was always like, oh, I'm so tired. I just, you know, I want to get home and sleep. And, you know, it just whatever excuse I could come up with to validate not doing it in my mind, I did it. I validated it for myself. And, you know, it was one of those things that when I finally had to retire and I was like, okay, I'm eventually going to have to get neck surgery here. What am I going to do after this neck surgery? Everyone keeps telling me that, you know, yoga is the way to go and everything. I was like, wait a minute, I got to talk to DDP about this because here's the thing that I can relate to. It's like with DDP yoga, you and I were the same size.
Right.
You know, it's not like I'm watching some, you know, 100-pound girl twist into a pretzel. It's like, no, okay, this is feasible. Like, you know, I see the videos of Arthur, and then I see him on the DVD, and I'm like, yeah, number one, I want to hug that guy.
He's awesome.
he's amazing, you know, and it's attainable. And that's what I think, for me, was always one of the things, too. It's like, I can't do that. I'm a somewhat flexible guy, and, I'm an athlete, but still, it's like, man, I think that might be out of my wheelhouse. And once I realized that it wasn't, that it was possible, it was feasible, and because you hear, okay, ex-wrestler, there's probably not going to be much that intimidates you, but the idea that at first really did intimidate me, and I let the limitations of, you know, torn Achilles tendon, you know, torn pec, two neck surgeries, I let that, you know, push me away from it until I finally realized, hey, I got to get some flexibility here. I want to get some strength in different forms. I'm not worried about, you know, I want to be fit. It's
right.
Really what it boils down to. And, you know, moving up to Asheville and the change in the lifestyle and, you know, mountain biking and kayaking and all of these things, the DDP yoga, I knew, especially once I started, I was like, oh, this was the last piece of the puzzle that I needed, you know, the breathing and the relaxation of it. And also the fact that I don't care what anybody says, you hear, you know, a 5-second squat and you think, oh, okay, you do a 5-second squat, it's friggin' hard. it jacks your heart rate up. You know, those 9-second push-ups, they will beat your ass. I don't care how big you are, how strong you are, how much of an athlete you think you are, it's going to get your heart rate up. You're going to break a sweat if you're doing it properly, if you use the dynamic resistance properly and really, you know, work against the air instead of, you know, trying to throw around a bunch of heavy weights. Because I tell you, I've done that too. And I never felt as energized, as fit, and also as... And this is not even 3 months after my second neck spinal fusion surgery. And I can get into contorted shapes just in 3 weeks of doing this that, you know, there's no way I did in the middle of my prime of my career. I wouldn't have.
And that's what Chris Jericho, he called me up after 3 weeks. So that's where I made that move. I was like, people say, well, how long will it take me to feel something? I said, you'll start to change in 3 weeks. And it might be two. And they're like, seriously? I'm like, I'm just telling you what everybody tells me and what I went through. I mean, Chris called me up, and he goes, Dallas, he goes, I've only been doing this 3 weeks. And I started with 3 days a week. Then I went to four. Now I'm at five. He goes, I'm, like, addicted to this. He goes, I feel like I've got, like, 85% pain-free. He goes, and I said, listen, bro, when you come through L.A., come by, work out with me. And he did that twice. He did it again. He did it like 2 weeks later. He came in, and it just took it to just a little critiquing things that I do at my workshops that I do or whatever. But when it's one-on-one, it's like a whole different planet, you know. And
yeah,
we hung together. We ate together. He called me up 3 months later, and he goes, I got to tell you, I'm 100% pain-free. He goes, I thank you so much for bringing this to me. I was like, dude, I thank you so much for doing it. You know? So, you know, it was really awesome to hear that you were doing it. I don't want to keep rolling on that. I'm like I wrote you, I'm honored and humbled that I am a part of you now, turning, not just holding back, but turning back the hands of time. It's an honor that you're part of the crew that believes what we're doing here, bro. Now I want to go to, we got callers. We're not taking any more callers. We've got a lot on the line. We're gonna take as long as Edge will hang with us. Stacy, I know you've got some. Don't take any more questions in the chat room. Stacy, I know you got to have at least question or two over there, or 10. What do you have?
Yeah, I've got some. You want to go now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, the first one's from Katie Stifler, who wants to know, Adam, what is your favorite DDP workout? And even though you're not going to return to wrestling, will you ever do a 5-second pose again?
Well, we'll start with the 5-second pose thing. At some point, I'll come back and do stuff with WWE here and there. Where I am right now, just the idea of that travel schedule, whether it's being backstage, you know, as a producer or anything like that, the idea of traveling that much is not. I'm kind of over that right now. You know, ask me that again in another 2 years, maybe. But I'm really enjoying my life. I really, really love my life, and not that I didn't there. But you didn't really have a chance to appreciate how good life was because you're always so tired. And,
right.
man, I got to tell you, and I'm not just blowing smoke either, but this, I have so much more energy. You know, and for the first 2 months after this second neck surgery, I was like, okay, I just got to sit for a little bit. I got to heal. You know, and you kind of sit like a bump on a log for a couple of months, and you can get a little bit like, oh, man, am I ever going to kick out of this? Am I going to, you know, be able to get back to any semblance of me? And started doing it. And I honestly felt an energy change in the first workout, in the very first one. I went, okay, all right, here we go. That felt good. I like that. I felt refreshed, and then it's been snowballing from there. You know, I've been getting in 5 days a week and doing it, and I've been doing each one 2 times before I move on to the next. And so I'm up now. I did my second strength builder today. And
oh, it's a great workout.
Man, it was awesome. You know, I'd have to say it might be my favorite, but also I did it like an hour before we started talking. So it's really fresh in my brain. But you know what I have been doing, though, is I brought the wake-up disc up into my bedroom because I got a TV up there and everything, and I pop that on first thing in the morning. I'll do that, get out of bed, you know, do the rest of it. Then I feed the dogs, cuddle with them a little bit, and then I'll go mountain biking, and then, you know, usually around 4 or 5, come back after errands and everything like that and do my you know, longer one. And I really enjoyed energy and fat burner, too. So that's kind of where I'm at. Red Heart Hardcore kicked my ass. So, so tomorrow I'll be starting with mixtape. So I haven't even gotten to extreme yet. So I'm a little
fearful.
Oh,
dude, you don't want to go near that. Until you own the diamond cutter and double black diamond, to stay away from that. But I'll tell you what is great for you in extreme will be the tutorial on the hip opener, because all those crazy spears you did and all to flying through the air. Go and check that out, like a morning, like that you want to do something where you catch it, you know, the wake up. And I developed that wake up because I woke up every morning like that. Once I figured that out, right up until I was 50. I said 50 or 56, or 57. When I was 53 is when I went to the gluten-free, wheat-free, and dairy-free thing.
Yep.
And since I've done that, taking out the inflammation in my body.
The inflammation, yeah.
I've never done it again, bro. I've never done that workout or a type of that workout because I haven't needed it. I wake up, I wash my face, I walk downstairs, and there's anywhere from 5 to 15 people in my house, and we're ready to work out. And that's how, I mean, I go right to the, you know, and if it's a smaller group, then I know we're going to do like a crazy kick-ass extreme workout. If it's a bigger group, it's going to be YRG, and it's going to be so everyone can do it at every level. So awesome question by Katie. And Katie, I want to tell you, bro, Katie is she brought a picture of me and her when she was like 14, you know, and now she's like 29. But back in the day, you know, she was one of those kids like we were, you know, that loved the wrestling and being around it. And Katie's down 40-something pounds right now, and she is a beautiful girl. And when she finally gets to that weight where, like Stacy did, Stacy lost 185 pounds in 18 months. We just asked you that question. And she's a Marilyn Monroe beauty. And Stacy, our Katie Stifler is going to be just like that. It's going to be awesome, man. Changing lives on a whole different level. It's so cool. All right, let's go to the lines. We got a bunch of guys. Please keep these questions to one question because I don't know how long you're going to stay with this kid, but you tell me when you're done and we're out. We're not taking any more people on here. James, are you on the line?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. Man, welcome to the show. You got a question for my man here, Edge?
I didn't hear you.
You got a question for Adam?
I do. I just wanted to say that no matter what I get out of this, this is going to be a life-changing event because you're my favorite wrestler of all time, you know, and I'm a diehard fan, you know, no matter what, Attitude Era or, you know, the PG Era. But I just wanted to also say that you, Diamond Dallas Page, and Chris Jericho, in my opinion, are the, you know, 1A, B, and C heels of all time, in my opinion. So,
awesome.
Thank you for all of that.
it just means a lot. But my question, I just have to do a quick explanation. I started DDP Yoga in July, and I had started school, and, you know, I was trying to do a lot. I was really motivated, and I was in the gym and doing all the things that I needed to do, and, you know, I just wanted, you know, the results really quickly, doing everything gluten-free, and, you know, I just got too ambitious, and, you know, I was lifting really heavy in the gym, and I ended up, you know, injuring my shoulder, and...
That's what Jake did, but go ahead. I begged him not to go to the
really?
Gym. Swear to God.
Man. After that, you know, I'm dealing with school. You know, I'm doing, you know, trying to, you know, overachieve. And I just got really depressed after the image and after the injury. And I just stopped. I stopped everything, you know, and, you know, I ended up failing out of school. And it's DDP mentioned tenacity earlier, and I'm a guy that I have a testosterone deficiency. Nobody knows that really, but, yeah, I do, and I develop naturally I don't produce as much testosterone as the average guy. And so that's not a part of me. I deal with a lot of chemical imbalances. So I just want to know, how do you find a balance? Because I deal with a lot of peaks and valleys in my life. You know, there's never really any middle ground. Either I'm really up or I'm really down. What do you do to find balance? And anyone can answer this question or chime in, you know. It really means a lot to me to find this.
I tell you what I do is I seriously wake up every morning and go, you can wake up and go about this day two different ways. You can, you know, be sore or you can be worried about whatever's happening or whatever and get bogged down in that. And I guarantee you, you're going to attract more negative things. To me, it's like a tuning fork, and you can tune it positive or negative. And
yeah. Yeah.
That stuff is going to attract to you. But if, man, I wake up and I hear my dog snoring, and I'm like, yeah, this is a good day. And I may still stub my toe, but I'll laugh about it. And instead of, you know, start cursing and swearing. And I've been extremely thankful with how my life has worked out. But no matter what, you're still going to have some times, like I said, with this last neck surgery. Yeah, I was like, ooh, man, another surgery. Oh, gosh, I'm 39, second neck surgery. This is going to suck. And I got bogged down in that for a little bit, too. But then I realized, okay, I just got to knock the dust off, get up, and start doing some stuff here, you know. And everybody can do it. Everybody can do either or. And it can be tough at times, but it's possible, man.
And dude, I mean, I couldn't have said that any better, man, because it's all about having a positive attitude. I'll share one thing with you I learned from a guy named Pat Croce. Pat Croce, Cliff Notes, went from the guy who had a physical therapy business. Well, he started being he was taping the ankles of the 76ers, the Philadelphia 76ers NBA basketball team. He went from taping their ankles to owning the team. Now, it's not all his money, but he's the face that owns the 76ers, taping her ankles to owning the team. And he wakes up every morning, claps his hands together, rings them out, and says, today is going to be a great day. And, man, I swear to God that works. You got to start the day with a positive attitude. And that's on you, James. I hope keep me posted. Get back on the mat. I've never known anybody who got off that mat and said, boy, I wish I didn't do that. But it's getting there. Write down the goal 3 days a week and start there. Set yourself up to win, bro. Thank you so much for calling in, James. Have a great night,
Thanks
brother.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, man. Hope it helps.
Kevin, are you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, man. You got a question for Adam?
Hey. Yeah, how you doing? This is Kevin from Jersey. How are you, DDP and Ed?
Doing good. Good. Doing
awesome,
good,
man. Jersey boy.
Yeah, you know it. So, Ed, I want to ask you, my mom was diagnosed with spinal stenosis about a year ago,
yep.
And, you know, I've been telling her, you know, TDP yoga, I've been doing it for a year, I feel great, I want to try to get her into it. Was there any one workout or any specific moves that, you know, helped you more than others, you know, anything that I can just kind of introduce her to the program and get her feeling better?
I'm going to tell you, like, any time with a broken table, any kind of reaching and elongating the spine, I mean, it just feels great. And cat arch and cat lift, the relief that I feel every time I do that, I'm like, oh. And I'm honestly not sore, but when I do that, I feel even better. And those are ones that, seriously, like anybody could do that right now. You know, anybody can do, the cat movements. A broken table, it's going to get challenging after a little bit, but it's still feasible and doable. Any time that you open up and, the 6 and 12 positions, those really, really feel good. And that's been my experience so far. You know, I also like shuttle a lot, too, and when we stretch the arms back and really get into those shoulders, because that's all the area where I used to carry my tension and where, you know, a lot of my problems stemmed from with the stenosis, and especially it was in my left arm. And, I'm doing stuff seriously. It's not even 3 months after surgery. And I mean, sure, they've made great advancements in neck surgery since my surgery in 2003, but, I'm able to get in positions. I'm like, I should not be able to do this yet. This is awesome. it's not going to hurt her. It's not going to hurt her. The only thing it's going to do is benefit her, and it can be a slow and steady process. We talked about, like, kind of the three-week type thing, and I felt the difference after the first one. What I really enjoy about it, too, is that you can modify it. And I love the fact that someone on the disc always modifies it. So you can start there, and you don't feel bad about, you know, if you can't get, you know, stay in that Thunderbolt for too long, well, that's okay.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for coming in, Kevin. I hope that helps you out. Before I bring the next caller on, I want to tell you, bro, that broken table, of all things that you mentioned there, that's a rehab move. That's not even like really like a yoga move. I'm sure certain yogis put it into their stuff, but when I was mixing the yoga positions with the rehab positions, that's the one of the main ones that I pulled over, and then all the other movement around that was just stuff I added. And, you know, it was that fusion of the yoga with the rehab with, and you know how many times we both rehabbed. We're having any of that, you know, with the old school calisthenics and the dynamic resistance, and that's what makes it its own animal, man. And I'm just, every time I hear you talk about it, it's like, oh my God, he really gets it. Like, you're going to be so unstoppable. The thing is, you're going to want to get back in the ring. You're going to feel so good. Don't. hit a spear. That's it. Hit the spear and get out. That's my advice to you right there. A 57-year-old man is going to be 57. Okay, we got Hack on here. Hack, how are you, man? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing great. Quick comment. Ed, you were the first person I ever saw wrestle. I saw you win the Royal Rumble in 2010 and was a fan ever since.
Wow.
And that when was, you retired, and I actually cried a little bit when you retired. So I'm not ashamed to admit that.
That takes a man. It takes a man to say he cries. I cry.
Me too. And anyway, trust me, you aren't the only man that's told me that. So don't worry, you're in good company.
Okay. And my question for you is, how did you basically eat while you were on the road and maintain your weight?
Well, you know, it's interesting. For me, I've always been the kind of guy that'll lose weight. And if I don't, you know, eat properly, if I don't, you know, and I'll be perfectly honest, there was a good 4-year stretch that while I was champion, I didn't even work out. I didn't watch what I ate, nothing. I was sore, and I was like, screw it, my workout is going to be in the ring. I'm getting thrown around by Batista, and I'm picking him up. There's my workout. And, you know, I really, really got, like, into a bad rut and repetition there. And it, you know, I didn't fully understand, like you said, you were in Atlanta there for the Rumble, and that was the first time I started to bust my butt, because I got back from a torn Achilles in 6 months, and I did a lot of balancing things, and but I still wasn't honed in where I needed to be the rest of me, and it really wasn't until like the last year of my career where I started feeling like, okay, got to reshuffle the deck here, and then when I retired, then I really honed everything in. You know, I cut out. Being up here in Asheville, man, it's so easy to eat amazing. So that's really helped. And really it's just, you know, I don't go super crazy with anything. I never really did, but even more so now. You know, keep my meals between 500 and 750 calories. You know, I'm not, you know, I don't go crazy. And, you know, there's some fat in there, there's got to be. And that's another thing that I've learned over the years. And it's kind of growing to learn your body. Thankfully, once again, with this surgery, I lost weight. You know, and I didn't know if at this point it was going to be, okay, I have surgery and I gain weight. Well, that still wasn't the case. So I lost 14 pounds with this. But I will tell you that since I started doing, I've gained weight back, but not bad weight. So it's possible if to gain muscle weight too, which is encouraging, you know, because I started before this surgery, I was 240. I dropped down to 224, and I'm back up to 230. So I've gained 6 pounds just since I've been moving again and doing this again, or doing this for the first time. So it's possible. That's one thing that I found very encouraging. And I'm not big on the weight scale. I'm big on, hey, do I feel good? Awesome.
Right.
Usually if you feel good, you're going to look good. So...
Awesome. Thanks for calling in, bro. Appreciate that, man. Our next caller is Sheila. How are you, Sheila? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing good. How are both of y'all?
Very awesome. Good. Thank you.
I just wanted to say two things before I got to my question. Number one, I really enjoy reading your tweets, Edge. They never fail to make me laugh, even when I'm having a bad day. I'm hoping to meet you in Boston since I've never did get a chance to at WrestleMania 25.
Oh, okay. Well, the wheels, yep.
My question is, I had back surgery in June, and me and my roommate worked at a stressful job where we have to lift a lot of 100-pound dogs. What would be a good exercise to help strengthen our back, but at the same time help me get back into shape?
I got to tell you, the one I just did, Strength Builder, it's going to strengthen your core, so will Red Hot Core, but it's really aimed at lower back and hips, and your hips are so important to gaining lower back strength. If your hips are all jacked up, then it's going to be tougher to lift stuff, you know. I got an old, you speak of, you know, lifting dogs, I have a really old yellow lab, and he can't do the stairs anymore. He's 85 pounds. I got 18 stairs. I got to carry him up all the time. And, you know, obviously I'm a fairly large man, but I did just have neck surgery. And, you know, I don't have any problem doing it. You know, I should technically right now, but I don't. So I think that being said, obviously there's a different grade for us because, you know, you're a woman who's probably not 6'4" and, you know, whatever, but it's possible for anybody to jump into this and start at any level and get to a level where all of a sudden you're going to be like, oh man, I can hit this. Like the three-legged dogs, those have been difficult, but you know, each day, I see it. It's like, okay, that back leg's getting a little higher, a little higher, a little higher. So don't be discouraged because it's hard for me too.
Got it. Oh, that's awesome. Great answer. Sheila, thank you so much for calling in. Our next guest is, you know, God, I haven't talked to him in forever, man. He was one of my favorite people, and he's one of the guys who worked out with me when we would go to a ring back when I was first starting, when I was 35, you know, when I was, you know, trying to get that break, you know, to, you know, just trying to really to learn. And he got out there and worked with me a lot. We got Scotty Riggs on the line. Scotty, what's up, brother?
Hey, my old friend. How are you?
Awesome, man. Good to have
it's
you on the
great
show, man.
Great to hear your voice. Other than on the disc, you know, I've taken many a diamond cutter, and now I feel like I'm actually given a few. I feel like I have the same conversation with you almost every day, depending on which exercise I do. Ed, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing well, man. We never had a chance to actually meet or anything in this crazy business we've been in.
It's crazy that we haven't after all these years. I know.
But it is an honor to have listened to some of your stories. I've been on hold here for just a little bit, but it's definitely cool to hear your voice and speak to you for the first time.
Yeah, it's good talking to you. I'm sure we'll run into each other at some point. It's a given at some point.
That's the craziest thing about the industry is you never know when you'll bump into somebody.
Well, yeah, here's the deal. We'll run into each other in, like, Omaha or something.
Yeah, exactly. Or Cedar Rapids, Iowa or something like that.
Yeah.
I love Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hey, Scotty, are you living in Atlanta still? Are you around this area?
Right around Hilton Head, in South Carolina.
Okay. When you're coming into the ATL, you know, send me over a direct message, or I think you can get my regular email. Either way, hit me and let me know you're coming, and let's come by the house, bro, and get a workout with us. Okay.
Definitely, I'd love to see Jake again because I actually before me and you actually. Totally got hooked up. Jake, I traveled with him a bit, and he helped me with a lot of psychology and stuff, but it's great to see the things you're doing with him. I mean, that is a success story that you, your positive energy, and just the guys around you, and just the energy you've given me through the videos or anything, I know it's working an impact on his life.
No, it's really been amazing. I know Jake Junkie. I know Jake God. I know Jake worked out once in a blue moon. I know Jake the Party. I mean, I knew every Jake, I thought, until this one. And his daughter, Brandy, just spent a week with us. And she pulled me aside. She goes, I've never seen Dad like this. I mean, he couldn't go to the ground because his body was so beat up. I had to show him how to use a chair to get down to the ground and then how to get up using the chair and his body, very similar to Arthur. And we filmed all of this right in the beginning because we wanted people to see it's never too late. And when he got here, I told him, I said, Jake, I will do this with you. I will bring you into my home. I'm buying a place in Atlanta. If you can lose 15 pounds on your own, I got to see you want it, bro. Because if you want it, I will help you. I'll go nonstop for you. And bottom line is he lost 26 pounds. He was 305, and wow, it was all in his stomach. He lost 26 pounds on his own when he walked through my garage door to be, you know, I didn't know how we were going to be able to live together because, you know, I've lived with women the last 20 years. And tell you, he's got one side of the house, I got the other. We meet in the middle all the time. He probably ended up living with me for, I don't know, maybe forever. I don't know. But we get along so amazing. His work ethic is, I've never met this guy, but I've never met a guy. Every time I knew Jake, we were effed up at one point or another, you know, within a day or two, you know, on the road or doing something. You had a good time. But he was always on that buzz. He hasn't drank in the last 70-something days. I don't know exactly what the date is, but it's because we cut him off. Anybody who's listening, if you want to see the resurrection of Jake the Snake, there's a trailer we started, and it shows bits of that first day, and then it goes through. Go to DDPTV. Just search that on YouTube and start with that and start to look at the dates when we put these up there. And Jake has just been amazing. Thanks for bringing it up, Scotty, because I can't tell you how good it makes me feel, man.
Well, dude, Jake is actually, you know, I actually had almost the same story with him in a sense, because to give you part of my injury things I've been dealing with until I got with your yoga, I have 5 herniated discs, 2 in my neck, 3 in my back. I have not stenosis like you have, Adam, but it's called spondylosis. It's like my entire spine has arthritis, basically. So I had a lot of problems in being so stiff that I couldn't move. I had 3 elbow surgeries that were pretty much flayed open after I fractured my ulna bone in my left arm. And I had 13 screws and 2 steel plates in my arm to help it heal. The second surgery was to remove all the plates and screws except for 3. Then I had a 3rd surgery where they transposed a nerve because I had no feeling in my left 2 fingers. I still don't, even though they did that nerve transposition. I straightened my left arm out, and it's like 4 inches shorter than my right arm. So a lot of my joints.
Scotty, and you did all that shit doing that fake shit, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like I heard you on the doctor the other day. You can't fake gravity.
There you go. Yeah, there you go.
Bodies and put all the surgeries. There wouldn't be a spot.
It's remarkable that we still have the energy levels that we have, except through what Paige is teaching us now. You know, and you've been living this for what, a decade now, Paige?
13 years, man. 13 years. They told me my career was over at the end of '98. You're done.
Wow.
You're done. Okay.
But I mean, I felt like I was done for the longest time because I was so stiff and in such pain most of the time. All my joints, my knees, ankles, everything was just because of the lack of being able to move like I had before. You know, it was almost getting to a sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that was crushing me.
Mm-hmm. Scotty, when you're coming out here, make sure you come. I want to show you a bunch of other things. I want to teach you some stuff about nutrition that will that's the biggest thing with Jake. And that's why he lost those 26 pounds before he got here. He's down 60 pounds now, and he's got about another 10 to go. I mean, he was 247, 245 the other day. You know, Jake ain't been 45 since, you know, 1980-something, you know.
Exactly.
And, you know, long story short, you can make sure you got in touch with me. I would love to have you come over. You know, we'll work out. We'll have a meal.
Man.
All right, brother. Love you, man. It's great, great to get you back with you, and so happy you're doing the program, brother. And like I said, get with me when you're coming to the ATL. All right, bro?
I will do it. But I want to share one quick thing, but the coolest thing with half your workouts is the self-adjustments that I get.
Wow.
My spine and everything is loosened up so much that it actually, I will do something and everything will crack. And I'll be like, oh, God needed that. You know, it's better than a chiropractor.
That's
one of the biggest reliefs out of this whole thing. And it, when you get that, it just energizes you.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure anybody heard that.
The first time it happened for me was just in a pinfall, and I went, whoa.
Oh,
wow,
yeah. When you arch those hips up, it's like, crack, oh, whoa,
yeah.
You don't want to move again. So good.
All well, right, brother, thanks for calling.
Man.
Make sure you get
Thank
to
you.
Me.
Take care,
and
guys.
Our next guest, you got about another 10, 15 minutes, Edge?
Yeah, heck yeah. My battery's so full.
Okay, awesome. Now, this guy I met him at a show years ago, and, you know, RVD and I, you know, we're buds, you know, not like good buddies, but buds. He ends up, over a period of years, putting me and RVD together out in California, and me and RVD are freaking tight as hell. Become like blood brothers, man, and I got to thank him, Officer X, a regular to our show. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How's it going? Hey, Adam, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
You might not remember me. I met you a million times being the cop at the show out here in Massachusetts. And I'm tight with Dreamer, too. And remember we did that show in New York with the double shot and Dreamer at the party at the house afterwards?
Oh, gosh.
In between?
Do that to him. Come on, stop that.
Hey, this is one of the greatest stories of all time, right? Tommy lives in a nice suburban neighborhood. And it was Mother's Day, and there was two shows in Westchester County, the morning and afternoon one and the evening one. So Tommy was having a party afterwards, and so his neighborhood is kind of a white suburban neighborhood, and people are having a barbecue in the backyard, and Monty Brown and Mark Henry walk up the driveway to the wrong house and ask if Tommy's home. There's a Tommy who lived there. They're having a Mother's Day barbecue.
That's awesome.
Yeah, funny stuff, though. Hey, I'm glad to hear you're doing better. And we got Tommy's doing the DDP organ now, too.
And that
is
blew
he?
My mind.
He is. He's doing it. He's doing
awesome.
It. I've been torturing him to do it for years, and he's finally doing it. And that, I'll tell you, that guy's body could use it.
Yeah, it definitely could. Yeah, and then the next part, and I'll say it to his face, is we got to get him on the diet.
Oh, yeah.
he likes to gorge. So once he dials all of that in, man, I mean, he'll feel the difference just from the movements alone. But then once you start to feel that, that's when it's encouraging to like, okay, let's step this up even more.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Oh, it's good stuff. Hey, keep moving on, Brad. I'll talk to you later. Good luck.
Thanks, brother. Okay, man, we got Jeremy online. You still there, Jeremy? Hey, buddy, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, what's going on?
How
you
doing?
You got me?
We got you.
All right. Listen, let me tell y'all something. I'm ordering DDP yoga this week, not for me, but for my father, because I'm going to do it with my father. My dad's 65 years old, and about 03, 04, he had spurs on his neck, and they took out an inch of his spine, and he has a metal plate in there on his neck, and here recently it's been getting him, and you can tell his mobility is not there as well as it used to be. And I watched the videos, and let me tell you something. I don't love my dad enough if I hadn't already bought this for him to get him to healthier and to get him, because I want to try to keep him around. And just the stuff I've seen, it's that moment that he's done so much for me in my life that I just want to get back to it, and I just want to try to get it back to him. So I'm getting it this week, and I wanted to contact both of y'all. For some reason, I always thought y'all were my favorites. Yeah. I was back in '90s. I was a big, I was huge. I threw up a diamond cutter at every football game. and then when Edge come along, man, I'm telling you, the Brood was just like at our high school, we were like, yes, that's it, that's our guys. We're gonna start here. That's our guys. We're going full for them, and. Just, you know, y'all both have done so much that I thought was awesome. But my question is this, and it is regarding my dad, because I know with age, with your neck surgeries and everything, you may notice that how difficult I know yours is probably different, but with his plate on his, how hard will that be with him? My dad's 65, and...
Yeah.
How hard will that be with that? I mean, will he be able to,
I'll give you what I think. And obviously being 65 will play a part into it. But like we talked about, you can modify all of this. Start off in a comfortable position, but where you're still opening everything up. And eventually, even at 65, I truly believe it's possible to do it. I plan at 65 to still be able to, you know, get into positions. And I got a triple fusion in my neck, man. I got a steel plate from the top of my throat right down to, you know, the bottom of my neck. And it's sure, I'm 39, but I truly believe that if I keep implementing this stuff and, you know, the movements that DDP has, then it's not going to seize up on me. It won't have a chance to, because I'm not going to, you know, I think it's very, very easy. The easiest thing to do is sit and do nothing. Right. And but when you start to do these movements and everything, and you start realizing, whoa, okay, this is possible. This is doable. I can do this. And just watch that video of Arthur. Watch what's been going on with Jake. And, everybody has got some kind of ding or something like that. But, you know, he's got a bad neck, I got a bad neck, and I know there's an age difference. He might just have to start from further back, and that's cool. You modify it until he does. And also, too, don't shortchange yourself. Do it for you, too, man.
Because I wanted to see it. I wanted to be able to play with his grandchildren. And that's one thing that he's always been very... very big on it, because I remember how he was with me as a child, and I want my kids to be able to see that too. And so I appreciate it, guys. And hey, DDP, man, I ran into a guy that you need to get with, man. You need to get with Buff Bagwell, man.
I know he's on the list, bro. I'm waiting for him to come around. He knows I'm literally, you know, spitting distance to him, and he knows my number, you know. And I love Buff. I'll tell you a story about Buff. Buff was 20. Buff Bagwell was 20. Buff was 21. I was 37. I had just come back after they fired me when I tore my rotator cuff. And I just went out there and, you know, curtain jerker, first match, flew all over the place. Just, oh, God, so beat up already. And I look over at Buff and I go, dude, do you ever get sore? He goes, nope, never. Like, you're 21. Of course you don't. You know, but, you know, today, you know, I'm still 16 years older than him, you know, and I know he looks amazing, but, you know, his inside his body, he knows where I'm at. All he has to do is reach out. You know, because I reached out, you know, God, I reached out numerous times. How many times to you, Adam? I reach out to my brothers, and then I let them sit back, and when they're ready, I'm there for them. Anyone from past or present, you know, we gotten so many guys that are coming on now that are veterans that are, you know, that are beat up, and the old school guys are the hardest. They're there. So Jake, when Jake can put his foot over his head, and let me tell you, he can't lift up his left arm, not yet. He can lift up a little bit, but with his right arm, He pulls that. He's working on pulling. He's going to have that foot over his head by the time we get to WrestleCon at up in that WrestleMania. We're doing the big WrestleCon up there in Jersey, and we got three booths all together. And I'm telling you, Jake Roberts is going to be he's going to have that foot over his head because he's going to happen. And that's sort of like our thing. Hey, Jeremy, thank you so much for calling. Then we got to get to our next caller, but I do want to tell you, Jeremy, I've got a guy. He was on my original DVDs. His name is Ted. And look up, I just released it again on DDP TV. 71-year-old man kicks DDP's ass. Watch that guy. He was just working out with me today. He's 78. He will be 79 next week. And the stuff that he could do up till 4 years ago, and then we lost touch with each other, he got knee replacement at 76. And when he first came over to my house 2 weeks ago, he was like, Diamond, I got to move slower. I'm getting older, this knee. I'm like, hey, fuck that, Ted. You follow me. I'll follow what you can do, and you check your ego. In 2 weeks, he said, oh, my God, you're right again. I'm feeling better. I can feel a difference. I go, look what you're doing. You weren't doing that last week. So he's 78. But it is. Modify, wear a heart monitor. You don't want his heart rate going too high. It's really important. All right, buddy, thanks for calling in. Next call, we got about, how many? I think we got four more. Is that it? I got Jason on the line.
Yeah, Jason dropped, man. So we got to go to the next one, which is Erica.
Erica.
Hey.
Hey.
Listen, I want to thank you guys, first of all. I know I kind of got like a bootleg copy of your stuff, but I appreciate it. I can't afford it. I'm in the school bus.
Hey, I bet you own up to it.
It's not even the full bootleg. It's only a few clips and stuff, and I use it, and you helped me pop in a rib that was out for so long. So thank you. So I can't wait until I have enough saved up to get your stuff.
Well, hey, as long as you're doing something, Erica, you know, you got a question for Adam, or did you just have a statement?
Actually, a little bit of both. First of all, Adam, I'm not a wrestler fan, but I appreciate you guys as athletes. You guys put in a lot of hard work, and those people who don't understand, well, that's their problem. I actually got hooked on you because of Haven. I was looking for the channel. Yes, your first episode on Haven. Dwight was really neat. And I just wanted to know how you feel DDP has improved your acting or your future projects. I heard you are working on S.H.I.E.L.D. and you have some other upcoming ones where you might be doing stunts. How do you think that's going to affect your prospects of acting in the future?
With stunts, I'll never do anything that is going to jeopardize what I've had done on my neck. And the good thing is everybody's very cognizant of that. You know, we did a fight scene on a boat last year for Haven, and you know, the executive producers were like, no way, you're not doing this. I was like, I can do this fight scene, guys. I can modify this fight scene. I'm working with a guy, Eric Balfour, who trains MMA. He knows what he's doing. We'll be okay. Let me choreograph this and we'll be just fine. And it was, you know, I realized not to take, you know, ridiculous risks anymore. You know, I'm never allowed to wrestle again. So that doesn't mean I'm going to go and start landing on my head to do a fight scene in a movie, you know? For me, what I really, and the most important thing to me was my quality of life and how good I felt. You know, when I wanted to go on set, and, you know, you want to be in a good mood. You want to be, try and be a beacon rather than in the dark over in the corner. And that's really what I've tried to, you know, make sure happens in this stage of my life is just kind of make sure it's all in a good direction. And I already felt like I was in a good direction. Even with the neck surgery, you know, I knew I was going to come out of it, but this really helped me come out of it sooner than I ever expected.
What are your future projects for acting besides Haven and S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I don't have an agent yet. You know, at some point I'll have to do that, I'm sure. I really just with this neck surgery that I had in November, I was like, okay, I want to start DDP yoga. I want to get myself back, you know, feeling healthy from surgery, and I want to try and hone in some skills when it comes to acting. So that's really all I've concentrated on, and I've left everything kind of – I have some appearances, you know, across the country, but I left everything wide open until Haven again this summer. And
that's awesome.
Oh, good, it's going to be on again, yes.
Well, they've treated me so good that they're my first priority. I leave the docket open for them. And, you know, but pretty soon here I'm going to, you know, start getting to work on an agent, and I'll start looking at some stuff.
Awesome. All right, thank you so much for calling, Erica. We got two
thank
more.
You.
Is that okay, bro? Do you got two more? Hello?
Did we lose him?
My phone might have went out. Well, I'll answer. Look and see if he tries to call back.
Yeah, he's still on the line.
What?
Which is weird. Yeah, he's actually still on the line, which is weird.
Well, maybe he's, I don't know. Either way, How many questions? God, he's gone. Let's give him a couple seconds here, see if he pops back in. But that's what happens, man. Sometimes you talk on that phone, and then boom, it goes out.
Yeah.
There?
There he is.
What'd you do? Hit mute? We heard him. Adam, where you at?
He was there for a second.
He was. All right, that's what we call it, podcasts. There he is. There's that laugh. Okay, Adam, you got two more questions. I've got two more people. We've got two more people on the line. We got a lot more than that, but we can only take these two that were in the lower end. Are you ready?
Yeah.
But is Adam ready? I hear you now. He's going in now.
I'm ready. Can you hear
okay,
me?
Okay, great. Okay, Jonathan, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, man, you got a question for Adam?
Yeah, first off, DDP, I just want to say, man, that I appreciate everything you do, man, with people that have problems with alcoholism and addiction and stuff, because I'm a recovering pill addict myself, and I've been 10 months clean. I've never personally spoke with you or anything, but you really inspired me, so I just wanted to get that out there.
Thank you, man.
What's going on, Adam?
Not much, you?
Yeah, same old stuff, man. I just wanted to give you a shout-out from a fellow North Carolinian.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, I'm a transplant. My buddies call me a halfback. I started in Toronto, went down to Florida, and I made it halfway back up to North Carolina.
But my kids, man, is there anybody on the active roster in WWE or, you know, a part-timer like The Rock or Brock Lesnar that you wish you could have done like a big program with, like a Mania or a SummerSlam event with?
You know, I am completely happy and at peace with everything I did.
Really?
You know, it went the way it was going to go, and I got nothing to complain about. You know, I mean, seriously, I worked everybody. I worked every big star of the last 20 years. There's nobody that's not on that list.
I tell you what, man, the business misses you.
Well, you know, and I miss aspects of it. I miss being in the ring, and I miss the locker room. I don't miss anything else.
Fuck the road.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for calling. We got one more caller here. And, bro, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't you retire world champion?
Yes.
At Mania, am I correct?
Yeah, in Atlanta. Yep.
God, dude, I mean, if you couldn't have written that ever. No one gets to do that.
No. And I mean, honestly, if I had known everything that was going on to the extent that it was and we knew the news that we were going to get, then I wouldn't have wanted to, you know, because that's just – you know how it is, you know, you return the favor kind of thing. But
absolutely.
Then it just kind of worked out that way. And I was like, whoa, so I'm retiring as champ, huh? This is interesting.
Hey, dude, the whole ride you had with him, it has been unbelievable, and it's just starting all over again. And I see some big things for your acting career, just because who you are, and just the way you carry yourself and the way people like you, and, you know, because you're a real person. We got one more question here from Tonya, then I want to go to one from you over there, so pick the best one, Stacey, and then we'll crash out of this. Tonya, are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm doing good. I just wanted to say, Edge, I'm a huge fan of you. I did cry when you retired, and my sister laughed at me for that, but I don't care. I love reading your tweets on Twitter. Maybe one day you'll follow me. But my question is, I got in a car wreck a couple of years ago, so my back isn't the way that it used to be. Do you have any advice to someone who would be starting up DDP?
I can't stress this enough, that you can modify it I seriously think you can be anybody and start this. And as you start, you're going to get better. And I think a lot of it is just not worrying about doing the positions exactly like you see DDP doing them, because he's been doing it for 13 years. Build into it and just realize that at least you're starting. At least it's the right direction. And eventually it's going to start like that snowball, and it's going to turn into an avalanche before you know it. It really will. You know, they always say that, you know, every time we took a bump in the ring, it was like a mini car accident. So we've probably been in about 50,000 car accidents. We can do it. You can do it.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Tonya, and thanks for admitting that you cried. That's awesome. Stacey,
hey,
did you pick
I'm
your best question there? I know you got a lot of them. But give me one last question and leave Edge Copeland out of here.
An order of received. Ben Miller, what is your least favorite match, Adam, of your career and why? And do you have any good stories of DDP on the road?
Least favorite? Oh, gosh. Honestly, like, I don't have any that jump out. There's nothing where I go,
let's go the other way, because we don't go with it. Lisa, what was your what's your favorite match, dude? Do you have favorite one?
I seriously, I can't even narrow that down, because I think it's like saying, okay, who's the best wrestler in the world? Well, to me, there's no such thing. It's subjective.
Right.
Somebody
right.
is the best to somebody, and somebody is the best to somebody. And also, it's entertainment. So it's not like who's going to win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's truly the best team, and even then you're going to have intangibles and luck, you know, involved. But with this, I've never been able to say I got a favorite match, or I got, you know, that was my favorite opponent, or any of those things, because I had so many great opponents that it's not fair to just narrow it down to one. You know, because there's certain guys that could do certain things amazing and then maybe not do it as something as good as another guy that could do, you know, so there's just so many.
All right, well,
let
me ask you this, because I felt this, you felt this, the moment you were the world champion.
That definitely stands out. That you can't mimic or replace, because that.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, that's being given the tip of the hat. That's like, okay, you've worked hard, you've done good, here you go. Now, you know, now do something with it.
Right. And, dude, you know, that's a special moment that, you know, it is of all the moments, you know, that you get out there. We had so I want to tell you about a little about Ben Miller. I'm glad he you chose that question, and this guy is I really like him a lot. He's got a lot of heart, a lot of drive. He started this Donate Your Weight, and he started
it on Twitter.
Yes, that's him. That's Ben Miller. And so, you know, I'm going to put this up on the front page probably tomorrow or the next day. I just haven't had any time to get it together. He sent me an awesome little 2.5-minute video about, you know, members of Team DDP Yoga, who's, you know, just starting out, or maybe you're in the middle of, and you want to do something to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Benny did this a couple of years back, lost 100 pounds. You know, he had quite a bit more to lose, but he was doing it by himself. And in that video that's going to be on the page of Team DDP Yoga, and I'm going to put it up and give a little front verbiage to his thing so that I can put it on my DDP TV viewing thing as well, because I want all my 20,000 members to be able to see it. And he donates his weight. So he loses 5 pounds. He gives 5 pounds of food to a homeless shelter. And everybody can do it wherever they're at. So they're doing their own thing, but they're part of a big group. And he fell off, and he gained the weight back because he was trying to do it by himself. And you don't really know about this, Adam, but I put this site together called TeamDDPYoga.com. And the people there really, really care about each other. Katie Stifler, who just called in, and she texted me, and she said, "I'm not down 46 pounds, I'm down 58 pounds. So, but there's so many Stacey's on, Stacey Welkless people. Arthur's on this site. Arthur, if someone writes to Arthur, he writes back. Because, you know, when it came to someone buying, or I don't even say buying, investing in the DDP Yoga program, and if they put the work in, I really help them. Just like I'm working with Ben, I work with Stacey, I work with Arthur, I work with so many people, and they're, you know, they don't pay me anything. You get the program, if you put the work in, I'm all about helping you. If you don't put the work in, I don't have the time. But Benny had asked me if I would put it up there to make people more aware of it, to maybe put together a group of people that are doing the Donate Your Weight. So, Ben, I'm so glad that was of all the questions. I'm sure you had a lot of questions there, Stacey, that you asked that one. That'll be up there in the next couple of days. Anybody wants to jump on board of that, of Team Donate Your Weight, you can do that with Benny Miller in that group. Adam, I want to thank you so much, man. You know how I feel about you and have for since the first day I met you. You were all you Canadians. I mean, all of you. I mean this, you know, because I don't know a Canadian I didn't say had the most character on the planet. I mean, all of them that I have met, and I will include Chris Benoit in that group of people. A lot of people don't talk about him, especially in WWE. I will. He was a solid man. He mm-hmm. just lost it. And just to let people know who don't know this, when Chris Benoit died, his father gave his body to a college to do all the autopsy. Chris Benoit had the brain of an 85-year-old Alzheimer patient. So
there's a very good actually, I just watched it yesterday. There's a documentary called Head Games, and Chris Nowinski's heavily involved in it. And
yes.
You can watch that. You're going to get a whole different perspective on what Chris may have been going through.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you know, I mean, he was as solid as the day is long,
yep.
But then all the Canadians, they've always been men of character, stand up cats, man. And bottom line is, it's an honor, like I said to you, that you're doing the program and talking about it. I can't tell you how much I love it, and appreciate you coming on the show, bro.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'll shout it from the rooftops, man, or the mountaintops, I guess.
Do me a favor. On your phone, throw me a sound bite so we can pop you up. I want to put you in the open of the show. If
okay.
You pop us on there and just email it over to me. Thank you so much, Stacey. You're the best. Robert, thank you so much for staying long here tonight. Everybody, for calling in. This will be airplayed again tomorrow at 9 o'clock on DDP Radio. You've been wonderful. You've been marvelous, bud. See ya!
Checked it today, man. That was a great workout, man.
The powerbomb set up by Paige.
Oh!
Into the diamond cutter!
I don't believe it! Diamond cutter out of the powerbomb!
We're going home.
You've been listening to DDP Radio. Tune in again next week for another edition of DDP Radio with more great guests, inspiration, and news from Diamond Dallas Page and Team DDP Yoga. Keep up all the great work, and most importantly,
own your life.
Talk Radio.